The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm. We're going to be talking about protecting your tuchus. Well, actually, it's your assets, but that's another way of saying it. Welcome, Sam. Good to see you, and Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So this is a piece about, well, we'll let it out, trade secrets and non-competes, right?
It is.
All right. So let's get into this. What is it the businesses misunderstand about perhaps non-competes, just first of all?
A non-compete can take various forms. And one of the most important parts of a non-compete is the scope as well as the description of the prohibited activities. A non-compete essentially is a contract. So therefore, you have to also make sure that you comply with all of the elements of a valid existing contract. When a court looks at whether or not it's going to enforce a non-compete agreement, court is basically going to do something of a balancing act. It's going to look at the needs of the employer to be protected, but yet it's also going to look at the needs of the employee to make sure that they are not so restricted that they can't work in any form or fashion. Therefore, a court looks at the geography of the restriction and the time of the restriction. It is always a balancing act. Therefore, it's a case-by-case specific situation. For unknown reasons to me, people have been running around saying these non-compete agreements are not enforceable. I can tell you that our law firm has been able to get injunctions. Our law firm has been able to get damages to protect the employers from bad acts of former employees. These are enforceable, but they have to be properly drafted.
And when we're talking about the penalties for violating a non-compete agreement, where do they fall? Do they fall against the employee or the people that hire the employee?
The answer is both, because arguably a company that employs an employee who is subject to a non-compete is aiding and abetting in the breach of the contract.
Sure.
So arguably they are what we call joint tortfeasors, meaning they're both liable for the breach.
And that can get expensive, I would imagine, in some cases.
Talk is cheap until you start talking in court. And as soon as you have to go to court to protect some rights or to pursue an action, it can become very expensive very fast.
Where does this whole idea come from, Sam, that people are talking about these are not enforceable? Have there been cases where the non-compete has been so poorly written or exercised that that fails and then people get the idea that it's non-enforceable?
I would say they fall into two categories. One is where these agreements are drafted so badly that they're hard to enforce. These are situations where the scope of the kind of the activity that's to be prohibited isn't very clear, or they overreach, or frankly, they're misused. For instance, you don't want to try to enforce a non-compete over a receptionist normally. On the other hand, if you've got some top salesperson, that's somebody who could arguably damage your firm's income if they go to a competitor. The other type of problem that occurs with non-competes is they're drafted too well, meaning they prohibit an employee from being employed for 1,000 years anywhere within North America, some type of overreach. Now, one of the things that's applicable in these situations involving non-compete agreements, which is not the same under trade secrets, is that there's a judicial reformation option. And what that means is the courts have said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll look at this contract and try to figure out what are the needs and the rights of the parties. And what we'll do is we'll kind of reform the document and make it enforceable according to XYZ parameters that seem kind of right to us. Now, documents that we have drafted have never been subject to judicial reformation and have been basically enforced as written. But by the same token, it's important to know that what's being protected is a key asset of the company. It's really important because employees have access to all kinds of very critical information. And if they just go off to a competitor and take with them a whole slew of clients or some type of other type of confidential information, it could genuinely hurt the employer. Conversely, the employee still needs to eat. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that you may have been in the car business before, and now you're going to be in the fast food business. But there's still got to be some kind of way for an employee to either earn an income or be able to survive. Arguably, it may be outside the state of Iowa. So that's why these issues relative to scope and geography and time are so critical to these types of agreements. And again, it's a case-by-case determination. Words matter and drafting matters.
Generally, are non-compete agreements more restrictive the higher up the career ladder a person is in a company?
The answer is yes. They're normally more restrictive at the higher levels. But oftentimes we see at the higher levels, there are severance agreements also. So while you are prohibited from doing A, B, C, or X, Y, Z, it may be that you have a severance agreement that helps cushion the economic blow of that time that you're out of the industry.
We're talking about non-compete agreements in a segment called Protecting Your Assets with Sam Creamer of the Creamer Law Firm. All right, let's talk a little bit about trade secrets. How is that different or similar? How does that roll into the whole idea of non-compete?
A trade secret is something that is information. It's a formula. It's a way of doing things. It's a process. It's a document. It's a complete and exhaustive customer list. It's something that's important to a company. It gains its importance by being secret. And by secret, it means this information is not available to the general public, and you really couldn't get this information unless you invaded the company somehow. Now, there's a technical definition under the Iowa Trade Secret Statute, but from a 5,000-foot view, that's basically what it is. What the statute does is it protects a company from an employee or someone else misappropriating their trade secret. Now, misappropriation.
What does that mean?
Misappropriation is a term that's well defined in the Iowa Code, but for this purpose, I'm going to tell you that really what it is, it's a matter of protecting from theft.
Got it.
I mean, basically, it's somebody who knows or has reason to know that the information they're either using or giving to somebody else is a trade secret and that they are misusing it. Either for their own, they're using it for their own benefit or the benefit of someone else.
Well, how do you know if you got a trade secret?
It's not always clear as to what a trade secret is. And again, it's a case-by-case basis. Now, the Iowa Supreme Court has set out certain factors that it looks at in determining whether or not something's going to be a trade secret. I mean, for instance, there's the question of how important the information actually is to the company. There's the question of what steps has the company taken to make sure that it's secret, that it's protected. There's a question of how much the company has spent in order to develop this trade secret. How many employees have access to it? Again, these are not a finite list of factors, but these are things to be considered. One of the big questions is not only whether something is a trade secret, but there's a second aspect, and the second aspect is it has to be subject to reasonable efforts by the company to maintain its secrecy. So it's not
only— So something can't be secret if you're not really in there protecting it.
If you don't treat it as a trade secret, neither does the law. Now, the prototypical example of a trade secret is the formula for Coca-Cola. As it turns out, that is something that is not— copyright. It's not patented. It is simply a formula that is kept secret by the Coca-Cola company. Okay. Now, there have been cases all over the board as to whether or not something is a trade secret or not. We would have to agree that customer lists are something that are really important to a company, right? Mm-hmm. A customer list may have all kinds of information about a customer. It may have the type of business the company is doing with them. It may have their names and their addresses. And if some employee walks off with that customer list, that could be really a misappropriation of the trade secret because they could walk that to some other employer. Well, it turns out that may not always be the case. Again, you've got a situation as to whether or not it's secret. Now, in a recent case, a employee walked out and solicited all of their clients with a former brokerage firm. Okay. And the courts looked at it and they said, oh boy, customer lists can be trade secrets. But they said, look, they said this particular case, it's not a trade secret. And they said it's not a trade secret because the individual didn't use the entire customer list. The individual only used the names and addresses. And the individual was successful in persuading the court that it didn't actually use the customer list, that the individual remembered who their clients were.
Much of that data is already available.
Some of the data is already available. Now, what can a company do to try to increase the likelihood that something would be held as a trade secret and that something would be therefore protected from misappropriation? Number one, and the easiest, is to buy a $4 stamp that has the word trade secret and stamp the document. Trade secret.
So bingo, it's a trade secret.
That doesn't necessarily mean that it is a trade secret. But it certainly establishes that the company's taking some steps in order to make it a trade secret. Second, companies that have these types of trade secrets often have policies and procedures manuals. There ought to be something in the policy and procedures manual which can reference this so that everybody knows, this formula or this manufacturing function, yes, this is definitely a trade secret and this is important. A third thing they can do is have employment agreements. Now, these employment agreements may or may not have non-competes in them, but they could definitely have non-disclosures in them. And they could say, okay, we specifically lay out that this recipe for creating birthday cakes, this is a trade secret to us, and under no circumstances is it to be disclosed. Again, a trade secret is something that is secret, meaning it is not readily available to the public. It must derive its value from being secret, and the company has to take reasonable steps to protect its secrecy. So
really three basic, pretty basic things.
While they are basic, I believe it was Mark Twain who said, it's really uncommon how uncommon common sense is.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that things that could and should be done in order to protect these very, very valuable assets are often overlooked.
All right. So we've covered a lot of ground already, from non-competes to trade secrets. If I'm a business and I think I have trade secrets, and you've just delineated several ways in which it can or may not be a trade secret, how do I go about making sure that those things are protected? And you said an employee handbook, stamp a trade secret, treat it as it is secret, and let people know that it's secret?
Absolutely. And you also want to make sure that you limit access to those types of secrets to those who really have a need to know. You might also keep some records. You know, I told XYZ that this was our algorithm for determining who is a qualified client. Those types of things can also be indicia that it's not only a trade secret, but that you're taking reasonable steps to protect it.
One of the things that you said many, many times in the past, Sam, is that to get, not only to get it in writing, but also the minutes of your corporate meetings ought to be able to perhaps indicate what is or what isn't a trade secret, or at least an agreement with the board so that they're aware?
I think there needs to be a distinction between describing the trade secret
and
listing the trade secret.
Yes.
If you've got the secret formula, you may want to put in the minutes that the secret formula for birthday cake is something that we consider a trade secret, and we want to make sure that no one who doesn't need access to it doesn't get access to it. On the other hand, you don't put in the minutes, and the formula
is
you use this many eggs and the flour. And,
no.
But what you could do is allude to what you consider to be a trade secret.
We're talking with Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, of the Creamer Law Firm, about non-competes and trade secrets. Do many companies have trade secrets?
I think more companies have trade secrets than they realize.
Mm.
But again, enforcing these misappropriations of trade secrets can be very expensive. Now, the remedies for a misappropriation are also important. A company can get damages for the misappropriation, and those damages might be measured by the benefit to the company or individual that actually utilizes the trade secret. More commonly, companies try to get injunctions. And what they try to do is prohibit the individual or the company from utilizing their trade secret against them. Now, one of the nice parts is arguably you can get attorney's fees in these types of cases. However, there's two really big issues. Number one, how much are the attorney fees going to be? And number two, how much can they actually pay? Now, how much are they going to be? They're going to be whatever the attorney charges. But the court may look at this, and the court may try to decide how much is going to be payable by the company and how much is going to be payable by the misappropriator. But the real question becomes, how does the company pay it? It's my finding, and it's just empirical and has no basis in research, that by the time companies are trying to steal each other's trade secrets, either they're very large, DuPont and Monsanto, or they're very small, Mustard's trying to steal the pizza recipe.
Mm-hmm.
If they're small, there's no way to pay. If they're large, these fees could be extraordinary.
Mm. What's the best way to guard against making a common mistake, not knowing that you have trade secrets for one thing? Is that doing an internal audit and saying, okay, it's just sitting back thinking, okay, what do we know that we don't want other people to know?
I think that's the ultimate test.
Yeah.
Is what is it that if someone else got their hands on could put you out of business?
Mm.
That could be used as a test for whether or not something is a trade secret. Then the question is, what are you going to do about keeping it secret? And what are you going to do so that the law recognizes the efforts that you have made? Because if you don't treat it like a secret, neither will the law.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. We've learned so much. I mean, this is talking about issues that I would suspect face almost every company. Maybe not so much in the trade secret area, although I guess, you know, if you're Bebop's out there and you've got a way of making those burgers, you don't want everybody necessarily to know about exactly how you season things.
Recipes are a excellent example of what could be a trade secret. Now, conversely, these non-compete agreements are really a way to prevent your biggest asset, which is your employees, who go home every night with your biggest issue, which is your trade secrets, from becoming your biggest competitor. And if you need or want to make sure that somebody can't compete with you for a specific reasonable period of time within a specific reasonable geography, the best thing to do is to create an employment agreement which would contain both a non-disclosure, thereby eliminating the misappropriation of trade secrets issue, as well as a non-compete.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Business news that every business should be paying attention to. Sam, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure. Sam Creamer from the Creamer Law Firm. We're talking about protecting your assets, those trade secrets and non-compete agreements, what's right, what's wrong, and how do you know the difference? Thanks again.
Glad to be here.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll find out what happened on Wall Street. I can tell you this, Wall Street sort of took a pause today after that hot start, the best since 2006. What were the numbers like? We'll share next on the Business News Hour.